Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 553. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Happy 4th of July.
Yes.
Happy?
Happy? Happy. Earl is here.
Welcome to the 4th annual purge.
Wait, what?
Oh no. Gotta board up my house.
Oh, we did not tell Tony. My bad.
Sorry. You might want to lock your doors.
Damn it. I always forget that.
Jeff is here as well.
I did not think of anything clever to say.
That's okay.
I mean, how often do you say something clever anyway?
That's true.
I was also going to say, I think we don't think of this ahead of time. It's just like, whatever nonsense comes to your head when this starts makes sense to me.
Hey, normally I have like, I spend like time. Like, I prepare for this moment. Tonight, I did not, and it's obvious.
It's okay.
Oh, just tonight?
Just tonight.
Oh, okay. So I don't know what to say if the rest of them are prepared.
I mean, maybe they're better if I don't prepare. Maybe I just need to go off the cuff more often.
That's my rule of thumb.
Oh, I already forgot what you said. So.
Fuck.
So
I said something really witty. You laughed. I swear you did.
Do you guys see that video on Twitter? The guy walked up on his friend that was sleeping, and he blasted the purge siren, Jesus. And the dude just slept through it.
I was.
He's just playing the purge siren, and dude's just like.
I mean, would you not sleep through the purge siren?
I think I would wake up to that. I wake up if like I hear someone fart.
Oh, you want to know?
Like, yeah.
Well, not echo. I assume people who wake up and farts is not a common thing that can be.
I'm saying like,
but you're right, people.
If something happens in the other room, like that's off, I would probably wake up. I would hear it and wake up. I think hard to tell though, because you're asleep. Maybe you sleep through things you don't know.
Mm-hmm. I can say that I don't think I've ever been woken up by a fart. That.
Because that stinks.
Yes.
Oh.
And this is before we get intoxicated.
Yeah.
With the spirit of America and nothing else.
Before?
Okay, well,
this is the before part.
Being prepared, it's fine. I guess I'm drinking kind of a patriotic beer here. Well, it's not like it's the beer is called Science, but it is a raspberry, blueberry, toasted coconut, and vanilla sour wheat ale. So it's has red, white, and blue in it.
Sounds like a ice cream sundae.
It's very tasty. It is sour though, but it's quite good.
My beer is called Thank You 2021. It's an IPA.
Oh yeah. Beers are putting too many flavors in them. I'm drinking a Miller Lite.
Which doesn't put any flavor in them.
Exactly. Keep it simple.
Yeah,
basic.
You can definitely taste the different fruit in this, though, Jeff. And then there's like a coconut kind of kick afterwards.
I like when they have like a citrusy a little bit.
There's a tart to this. Hmm. What are you drinking, Earl?
I can't make fun of Jeff because I am drinking Red Stripe.
Oh, God.
I can explain this. I think I explained before I inherited this from my brother's repast about a month and a half ago now. And we were on the phone talking about my mother turned 65 this year, so we're planning her birthday in like 2 weeks or whatever. And we're like, oh yeah, we can get some beer and stuff like that. I'm like, crap, I have beer from this that I can finish. So I threw some in the fridge because I'm like, I gotta finish this. I can feel less guilty when I reorder my new stuff. And I have good stuff in the fridge, but that's actually for my movie tomorrow night. I'm supposed to, fingers crossed, I'm supposed to be watching Dynasty Warriors. So if y'all have that next week too.
But saving up the good stuff for Dynasty Warriors.
Well, I saved the good stuff for the movie because the movie is kind of my big drinking of the week. I mean, not this weekend because I'm pretty sure right now I have it to drink every night until Tuesday. So my wife is going to hate me so much. I mean,
make sure not to pace yourself. That's the key.
Oh, I have no intentions of pacing myself.
Red Stripe, when I was a teenager, that was one of my beers, was Red Stripe. I remember...
do they all come in like that bottle, or do they have cans too?
I haven't seen them in a can. I've always seen them in the bottle.
Yeah, I've only had it in the little...
The short little stubby bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bottle's cute. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it looks like... I remember thinking it was good.
I remember thinking it was good, but, you know, like... You know, I don't know. I remember, you know, the very first beer I was super into was not Red Stripe, but Red Dog. I just remember that fucking beer in the 90s.
I remember Mad Dog.
No, that wasn't even a beer. That's just like... Mad Dog is like those things that girls drink, right? And homeless people.
Wow, liquor, okay.
Right? Mad Dogs?
Yeah, isn't it?
Oh, man.
They're like fucking like the Bartles and James shit, isn't it? Like,
no, I wish I had. Now I wish I had pen in the head. I would have totally gotten some malt liquor, some 40s for tonight. That would have been awesome.
Remember Bartles and James?
Yeah. What is it? Colt 45s?
Yeah, Colt 45. Like that's what I always thought Mad Dog was like.
I thought Mad Dog was like flavored. Like there's like red ones and. You know,
it could still be malt liquor. Now I'm kind of curious because there's like a dragon one. There's Old English. There's Colt 45. There's a Mickey. There's
you guys.
There's still Reserve. There's a Cobra.
Still Reserve. Yeah.
Now I really wish I had gotten something like that. I kind of wanted to see if this podcast real quick to get myself a 40.
You guys remember Red Dog beer?
No.
No.
Introduced in 1994, 4.8% alcohol.
Okay, I mean, I know we're old, but in 1994, I would have been 9. I don't think I was drinking back then.
Right. Yes, when I was 12, I did not start drinking.
It is a Miller beer. I did not know that when I was a kid. But
there's so many beers that are like, they look like they're like independent or something, and then like you dig deeper and it's like Budweiser or Miller or
I mean I'm not one of those stickers who like I know there are craft beer purists who are like, oh, it's brewed by like a big one, but I'm like, yeah, it's funny like when you find like, oh, this really great like independent beer, and it's like, oh yeah, it's made by the people who make Miller. It's just like to use common terms, it's like an imprint.
I mean, they're buying up a lot of those breweries.
Yeah, so. And that's the downside. It's like
you're like, oh, Dogfish Head, awesome craft brewery, owned by Sam Adams.
Yeah,
Jeff,
I liked it for a while. I haven't touched that stuff.
You are right. I looked like Mad Dog 2020s are they are colorful drinks.
Yeah, they're like fucking. It's like wine coolers. Essentially,
I mean,
I think, more popular with like homeless people. That's how I remember it.
I just remember like you'd hear like, oh, like people, like they're going to they would go to the woods and drink, like, or whatever.
Yeah, yes, it was a like, thing that you would drink in the woods.
Like they got some mad dogs, like you go into,
Red Dog. I'm still on this Red Dog thing. I can't believe you guys don't remember. I mean, but it's funny because I was just looking at it. It says, although popular during the mid to late 90s, Red Dog faded into near obscurity by the turn of the 21st century. And I used to, every cap, it was like Snapple. You know how like Snapple had like different sayings and stuff underneath the cap or whatever? That's how like Red Dog was. They had like different things underneath. I forgot what it was, if it was sayings or pictures or whatever. But I had a whole drawer in my room that was filled with Red Dog.
So is this thing still sold? Do they still sell
it? It still is, but I've never seen it. Like,
Would you look for it now?
Right. Yeah, since 2005, it has been returning to stores in a current price segment between Miller High Life and Milwaukee's Best.
Ooh, wow, what great company.
But yeah, Red Dog was like the first one I was obsessed with, and then after that was like Red Stripe and Dos Equis. Like those were like big ones for me when I was like 16, 17.
See, Dos Equis is actually okay.
It's okay. The last time I tried it though, because like I remember Dos Equis was like a treat when I was a kid. I was like, this is the most amazing beer in my life. And the last time I had one, I was like, I think I'd rather have like a Modelo. Like, I was just like, I don't know. It's okay, I guess. I should give it another shot.
It's fine. Like,
When I was a kid, it was like you couldn't get any, like in my mind, it was like the ultimate beer. It was like, man.
No, like you go to like a barbecue and like somebody that thinks they're fancy has Dos Equis, like instead of like
I mean,
Corona
not
or
taking
something.
over Corona.
Yeah, it's definitely better than that, but like they. It's like, oh, you're the fancy guy because you spent the extra $5 and bought Dos Equis.
Yeah, like, what's your if you guys are gonna drink a Mexican beer, what's your go-to Mexican beer?
I don't think of beer that way.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
It's not like I'm gonna drink a Mexican beer.
Yeah, it's like I'm gonna drink a beer and like.
Like, seriously, if you send me to a Mexican restaurant and all that's on the beer list is Mexican beer, I'm probably gonna get a margarita.
You don't like them?
None of them are particularly good, no.
I think it's a. They all kind of have like a similar, different flavor than other beers, and
Yes, but it's not a good flavor.
It's the
I think it's
water.
okay. I think it's it, yeah. I could see you not liking it. I definitely could,
It's
but.
not like I don't hate it. It's just like I'd rather have a margarita because I think a margarita is going to taste good. That
I
beer will
like.
be fine.
Yes.
If I go to a Mexican restaurant. The first thing I'm ordering is always a margarita. And then it's either a second margarita or I have a Mexican beer after that. If I'm gonna have a Mexican beer, it's usually Modelo these days.
Yeah, again, I don't. It's so weird to think of beer that way in my head. Because I've had Modelo, I've had Corona, I have what is it? You could get like the three pack. There's what I forget Tecate,
Tecate.
Body, yeah. I've had and stuff like that, but
Oh,
I
it's
don't.
Cotty.
I just think of like, oh, I want to go out. I want to have a beer. It's not like, for me, it's more like the type of beer. Is it an IPA if it's a sour? Like, if I go away, I will pick a regional beer. Like, what's brewed in Milwaukee? What's brewed in Texas? What's brewed in Boston and stuff like that.
So what I'm hearing is for Earl to drink a Mexican beer, we need to bring him to Mexico.
Yeah, pretty much.
Fair
I
enough.
have some of my girlfriend's family is Mexican, and like, so you go to the parties there, they drink Mexican beer, and usually they have Modelo, which is like kind of my favorite now, so it's like it works out for me.
I like Modelo, but yeah, it's like it's again, it's yeah.
All right. Well, we're gonna finish our drinks. But
Talk about video games.
yeah, talk about some video games. There were some news this week.
This was the beer podcast.
I mean, it is. You keep talking about beer if you got more to talk about, Jeff. Like what else about beer you want to talk about?
I
Do whatever
think
you
we
want,
covered
man.
all sorts of stuff right there.
We dug back into drinking cheap beer back when we were in high school.
Mad Dog, Red Dog, Red
I was
Stripe.
curious. I am curious now. What did folks drink in school? Because like I was a big and I can never drink it again of when it, what was it called core not cores Natty Light. Natty Light was my
Yeah, they did a
go-to.
lot of
They
Natty
serve
Light, Natty
Natty
Ice.
Light in your cafeteria?
But it is served in our cafeteria.
So in
That
like
was very
high
popular
school and
in
like
college. Like
high
anything
school,
cheap?
college, Labatt.
Keystone Light.
Labatt. The best few, yes.
Yes.
Oh, Keystone's another one.
Oh yeah.
I think I was just. I would beg the guy on my floor to go buy beer for me, and I would just get Bud Light over. Yeah, I think Bud Light was when I was a freshman. I
So
was.
like we could buy like a case of like natural light or natural ice was like under $10.
Yeah.
So like
Yeah.
that's like you would like here's 20 and they would get two cases of it like and it's so bad
Yeah.
but it was so cheap and after about five of them your taste buds have burned off so you can't taste it anymore
Yeah,
like
yeah,
the piss taste that we were drinking. So.
If you ever went to like a college party, it's like a frat or something, I guarantee you were probably drinking something like that out of a keg or you know.
Yeah, it's whatever the cheapest thing is.
Yeah, but probably whatever the cheapest thing is. Wait a fucking half hour line for goddamn beer.
You know when I became a beer snob. I remember the Halloween after I graduated college in 2007. I was gonna say 2017. That makes me much too young. One of my friends, some of my college friends, came into town, and we were out at a bar. They're like, "Oh, you want to get some natty?" I'm like, "I graduated. I have a job. I can afford good beer now." And I have never drank natty since, and that was the day I became a beer snob in my head. So, like, I can afford to actually try good stuff, and it's better than, like, I could get, like, a, like, my favorite is one of my best friends. I remember him telling me a story when he was in college. I mean, no, you share these stories when you come home over the summer. And he's like, we get some No Label beer that's like, you get a 12-pack for $5 at the gas station. And I'm just thinking, like, all of that in hindsight just sounds so sketchy and bad for you.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, for the longest time, because, like, what, you know, you try out is, like, whatever people have at the bar, or, like, not at the bar, but, like, at the parties or in the woods. And it's always that cheap shit beer. So, like, for the longest time, like, I hated beer because it tasted like shit.
And some of those cheap ones are pretty bad tasting.
Yeah. Like, finally, like, you turn around, like, I mean, I drank a lot of vodka because I didn't like the taste of beer, but then, like, so, like, try this. It's like, oh, beer doesn't need to taste like shit.
I still remember before when I was working at GameStop, I think, when kind of IPAs rose up, and my neighbor in my apartment building was like, "You ever have Anti-Hero or whatever?" I was like, "No, I'll try it though." And he like gave me one, and I was like, "This is really weird. There's a lot of flavor here." I think it was right around the time I think Tony like had recommended Dogfish, and I think I just tried Dogfish too. So like less than a decade ago is when I got into like. Because I just really liked the IPAs, and I don't even know if they were around more than a decade ago. Like,
they probably weren't as popular. But I do remember, like, when we all started hanging out and talking and recording the show, like, Miller Lite was it for you.
A fancy beer for me, like, 10 years ago probably would have been, like, a Guinness. Like, oh, I'll get a, you know, a... What are they, 4-packs or whatever of Guinness? I think Guinness is still good and fine too. But yeah, as soon as I like tasted IPAs, like at very first I was like, they're onto something here. And then like the love affair began,
right?
And I gained like 80 pounds, drinking a fucking chocolate cake every night, basically.
I've shared this before too, but my second snobby thing with beer. Is whenever people bring up Guinness, I always talk about the fact that Guinness is better when you get the Irish version of it and not whatever they sell to Americans. Because what they sell to Americans is not watered down, but it has an extra ingredient added to it to help in the transport. So actual pure Guinness is so delicious because it's so much – because the one we get is much heavier, much more creamy than the one that they sell in actual Ireland.
Oh, yeah.
It just shocks me that they can't make it here. Like, why can't you just, like... I mean, it's a recipe. Take the fucking recipe across the ocean.
Yeah, you would think so.
Another place.
You would think somebody would come up with a version of that.
Oh, I'm sure they have. I'm sure there are, like... You could go to a craft brewery somewhere and get a beer that is Guinness from Ireland here. They just can't call it Guinness.
How weird.
Those are my snobby. Those are my snobby things.
Yeah. When did you become a beer snob, Earl? I remember when I did. 2007.
I don't know when I became a beer snob. I think. I mean, it's really a combination. It's because it's the same thing I do with liquor as well. Is that I actually do enjoy like going to places and just being like, oh, I'm kind of curious to try this because this looks cool. And I think over time, I just realized, like, you try so many different things. It's just like, oh, you know, like, I have a taste. Like, I like a good sour or a ghost. You know, I like an IPA, you know, lagers or whatever. Like, stouts are okay. Even though they're very similar, like, I prefer porters over stouts. And it's just, like, one of those things. And, like, I remember going to a bar in Seattle for PAX a decade ago or so. And like, it was the first place I went to that had, like, the IBU. And it's like, yeah, that's not important, but it's like, okay, the more you earn, it's like, okay, it helps define your taste. But yeah, I don't know, the moment I became like, oh yeah, you folks, like, I have friends who, you know, like, we go out drinking, and it's like, oh, you folks are drinking Corona. Like, I can offer suggestions and stuff. Good. Yeah.
No, I was starting to like good beer, and then I had a roommate who was he was from San Diego. San Diego has a really big craft beer scene,
it
and a
does.
Really big,
oh my gosh,
a really, really big homebrew scene. So he'd actually like brewed his own beer. He was way into it. But he just randomly became my roommate at some time. So we're sitting down watching a baseball game, and he looks down at his phone and he's like, "Oh my God, Tony, we gotta go." And he drags me out to the Dogfish Head Ale House because they had two beers on tap. He's like, "We have to go. We have to have these beers now because they will disappear." And one of them was Dogfish Head Worldwide Stout, which is an awesome, awesome stout, incredibly high gravity. And the other one was Dogfish Head 120 Minute IPA.
Jesus, man, that beer is like crazy.
Well, those two beers are both 18% ABV.
Yeah, it's,
I had two beers, and I was wasted. But they were also fucking delicious. And I'm like, how can I go back to real beer after having these things?
Yeah, so, 120 is like some kind of holy grail heavy. Shit.
Yeah, it really is. And I'm like on Dogfish Head's Twitter. Like, I follow their like stuff. I want to know when the next batch of 120 minutes coming out. I gotta go get one. It's like a 12-ounce bottle. You're like, I just paid $15 for this 12-ounce bottle.
I was gonna say, I remember I bought a bottle and I was like, what the fuck? But like, it did have a lot of flavor.
I was at a conference had ended, and my VP took all of us who had run the conference out for dinner. He took us to a steakhouse, and they had 120 minute for like $40 a bottle. I totally got one.
If you're not paying, might as well.
That's right.
Want to talk about video games?
No.
No, not really, no.
I mean, if it's... All right. What are you guys going to talk about? Okay.
I think we covered all the beers at this point.
We did. We talked about every single beer that exists.
I was about to say, that is not true, because for some reason, while we're recording this podcast, it's like three people trying some new experimental beer. I mean, granted, a lot of them after a while taste the same, because like, I like an IPA, but after a while you just realize IPAs all taste like IPAs.
No, there's a whole like gamut of IPAs. Don't get me wrong.
But like, yeah, you could try one. You know, there's different types of IPAs, but then yes, you know, like I've had ones that taste pretty close to where like Anti-Hero. That's my favorite. I've had ones that taste like it from just like local breweries. It's just like, okay.
Yes.
But, yeah. Then and there's like the ones that taste like shit.
The ones I'm always like, it's harder and harder to find something that surprises me. So I got a little quest. Like, I remember there was a time where I was trying to find like a fruit-based beer, like a fruit-based beer that is not sugary, but also not like it tastes like the fruit. It's always weird to get like a fruit-based beer and it tastes like beer instead of like, okay, you have like apricots and bananas and it's like, you don't taste like anything. So I want you to taste like something in between those two, but you don't want it to taste like sugar. I think I've mentioned before, there was one time I went to visit some friends upstate New York, and I was like, they had a s'mores. They had a s'mores stout, and I'm like, oh man, I want to try this. And then it's like, oh, this is, I wonder what this tastes like, and it's like, it tastes like a s'more, which is again that whole sugary nonsense that I tried to So I'm like, that was on me. That was all on me.
No, that's one of my favorite stout flavors though. Like, you get the marshmallow in the stout. Oh, good.
But
stuff.
I think you could get. I think you could, because I like chocolate too, and I don't in the gram. It's like combined. It's just pure sugar.
Yeah. No, you that's not something you want to hit very often. You're like, this beer is my dessert. You have to go in that with the mindset.
It's like that time I had that s'mores beer on the air, and that was just pure sugar. Oh, that was awful.
I like the ones where you can like distinctly taste the, like when they're like, oh, it's like peanut butter and chocolate, and like you get the flavor profiles of like each one. Like the,
yeah,
they,
and
they
that's
say, it's like that's what I'm looking for.
That's what I want. I want the ones where you can actually tell what you're drinking, but I don't want to be overpowering to the point where it's like the only thing you taste.
Yeah.
And that's really the balance I try to seek sometimes with these beers. It's like, I want you to taste unique, but I don't want you to taste like so strong that I just get turned off. And that is my curse. And then also the fact that I have an Untappd account that I don't use. So there's a ton of beers that I actually do enjoy, and I never remember what they're called because I never track what they are. And so it's like, I have my go-tos, but...
As I zero in on 1,100 Untappd check-ins, it's like I wander through the store. I'm like, what haven't I had?
And that's really helpful for that, and like being able to like, oh, I've had this, or I could recommend this to somebody.
Yeah.
Because I think that's important too. It's like being able to recommend stuff to people, especially friends who don't know better.
And there's so many of them.
So many of them.
Actually, one of my favorite things to do is like go out to restaurants with a bunch of friends who you know who aren't into beer, and order beer for them.
Yeah,
I like to, because I've gotten pretty good at it. I can peg most people and be like, you would like this beer, and they're like, I would never order this beer, and then they taste it like, ooh.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great feeling when you actually do recommend something for people that they actually end up liking.
Yeah.
Like I said, I have friends who were like, I went out with friends recently, and it's like, they're like, oh, I'm just gonna order whatever you order. I'm like, oh, that's a lot of pressure. But like, whatever I ended up ordering, they ended up enjoying. I'm like, because like you can kind of like, I mean, after a while you can kind of tell like what works together and what doesn't.
Yeah.
And you could tell like, okay, this is gonna be something special, or this is like something really crummy. And it's not always easy, but yeah.
I'm like playing on this beer app I have. You can get like limited run beers.
Are you on Tavor?
Yeah. And I'm like trying to figure out, because they're like, this one bottle is $9.99 for a 375 milliliter bottle. I'm like, how big is that? It's only 12 ounces.
Like send you it?
Yeah. They'll build you a case. It. Like you tell them like, oh, I want this. And like they'll build you a case and send it to you at the end of the month.
Send it to you via what?
How much is that? Via the mail?
You can't.
Well,
it depends on where you are. It depends on what state you're in.
Yeah, you can send alcohol via mail. You can't send it via the post office.
I had to have...
Well, that's the mail, isn't it? Like,
yeah, it was like... I think I got it through like a special... It wasn't UPS. It was like a special delivery.
Okay, like, yeah.
And you have to sign for it. Like, they can't just leave it on your doorstep.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, the same. I mean, one of the perks and downsides of this quarantine is I discovered that you can have beer and they're going to deliver it to you, but you do need to be around to sign. But I mean, and it's great for me, but also what it's really handy for is like if I'm going to friends, because like usually if you go to friends and stuff, I like to bring stuff because you don't want to show up empty-handed. It's like now I don't have to stop at stores, because I hate stopping at stores. Store selections are usually pretty pathetic. I mean, to be kind.
Right. Unless you know the store. Like we all have, like, I have a beer store that I go to.
I have a beer store, too, but the
and
beer
then there
store...
are a bunch where I'm like, there's one across the street. It has some beer that I might get in a pinch.
Yeah. Like, I have beer stores nearby, but they're not the beer stores I would go to Like the ones like I have. What was I gonna? I have some. My beer store is by work. The beer store that I can go to, they have a ton. They have a ton of variety. You can usually. My biggest thing, I always enjoy getting a variety pack, because then it's like, because you know, like sometimes I buy beer at random. I don't know if I'm gonna like this one thing, but if I get a like if I get a variety pack and it has like six different types of beer, the odds are I'm gonna end up like something.
Yeah.
So yes, but like none of my friends are near it. It's actually not on the route for anything except for work. And I think I told this story on the show before. I already went into work several times during the pandemic because I had to get beer, and I'm like, I'm gonna get beer anyhow. Might as well go to work, get some FaceTime in the office and pick up beer.
There's this chain called the Craft Beer Cellar. There's one in DC. But they're around. They do this thing though where you can buy any beer in the store as a single beer.
Yes, which
I love that feature. You hardly ever see it though. It's like I'll look at like a six pack and I'll be like, I want to try that. I don't want six of them.
Yes.
Because I might hate it. I feel like most stores should be offering this, like you can buy one and see if you like it.
Yeah, we have a yes. we have a pair of stores actually. Like there's it's just called the Craft Beer Store, and then there's like it's somebody's name, and they both like have shelves where you just go in and you can just make your own six pack, and it's really cool.
It's like there's this beer I've looked at a couple times. I've been to my beer store that I normally go to, and it's like it's a sour IPA with like milk, like lactose or something. And I look at it, I'm like, I really want to try that. It's a six pack. If I have one and hate it, what do I do with the other five? So I always end up buying something else. I really wish every store was like, just buy one.
Yeah, you know, it's like the first time I saw that was actually at one of the supermarkets upstate New York. Well, they are really big into that, and they will let you go into like a deep. And just go in a deep, and you can pick out like six beers, and you'll make your own six pack, and it's golden. Right. That actually reminds me of the other thing. One of the things I became not a beer snob for, but like back in college, there used to be a store that was called not a store exactly, but it's a store. You can go, and it's called Beer of the World, and you can go, and you could buy. Like they'd have 100 different beers from a bunch of different, like you know, different countries and stuff like that. And that was just like, if you go in, it's nothing but beer, and it's like it's just having like Germany, English, you know, different parts of the country. And I'm like, I want that, and I would go and I just create my own six pack. And
I don't mind buying six beers. Like I'll drink six beers. If you give me six different ones, I guarantee I will drink all six of them. You give me six of the same, I might not.
Yeah, I would. I don't like this.
Right.
Let's talk about beer. I'm going to grab a beer. See y'all in a minute.
Yeah.
I will say that like I like Tavor. It's really cool. It's like especially for finding beers that like you'll never find in like the local beer shop.
Rare stuff that's really good. Like and I like they like this beer is like a 4.2 on Beer Advocate or whatever. It's like you already know that it's good before it gets your mailbox.
I do wish like it's just like, oh, I bought that beer, I wish I had bought more because it was really good and now you can't get it.
Well, the only thing about it is there are so many craft beers.
Yeah,
there are so many different kinds. Like I love this kind of beer. It's great. You'll find a different beer from a different brewery that's exactly the same. You will.
Yep. Yeah.
Y'all ever try absinthe?
Like the green liquid?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. It's like illegal here. You have to.
Is it?
Is it still illegal?
As far as I know, it is. Like, I think they came out with a version of it here that's legal. That's just alcohol. But like the real absinthe, you'd have to illegally import from somewhere.
Why is it illegal? Is it because it kills you? I don't understand.
It has hallucinogens in it.
Oh, well, okay.
It has, I think it's wormwood or something that...
Yep.
Wormwood,
anise, and fennel.
Yeah. It's good. Like, you know, interesting drink. But like the way you feel after you drink it is pretty good. It's a very mild hallucinogen. I mean, maybe if you drink a ton of it, but then like you would also be so drunk that I don't even know how that would work. But just to have like a drink or two is pretty like you got a little buzz from the alcohol, and then the wormwood in it is like this extra tingly thing going on where you're just like, yeah.
So it's like whatever they're selling. 'Cause I've seen it in liquor
Whatever they're
stores.
selling here is not
Not it's like
legit.
a toned down version of it that probably doesn't
It's
have the
yeah, it doesn't have the
it's
wormwood
just a
or
green
it's just green. Yeah. And which is
green
still you get
alcohol.
like I guess you could taste what it tastes like probably, you know, and all that. There's like a whole ritual to it too, to like making the drink where like you have to put one of those drink spoons over it that have like slots in it. I don't know what they're called. Then you put like a sugar cube. And then you, no, there's like a, there's a, I mean, you could do it with a fork, sure.
Just fuck it with you.
But, it's like a spoon with slots in it, and you put a sugar cube on top of the spoon, and then you pour like ice cold water over the sugar cube, and then like the ice cold water and sugar go into the drink, and then you've made your absinthe drink.
Do you light it
I
on
remember.
fire? Because I'm looking at a picture here with this weird spoon that you're
No.
talking about, and they've lit the sugar cube on fire.
I mean, I guess you could. I don't remember doing
It's
that. There's, you know, as far as I remember, the way to prepare it is how I said. And then, yeah, my buddy somehow imported it. Like, I don't know. And the very first time I was going to try it, we were at my house, and we're sitting at the kitchen table, and it's like me, my buddy, his girlfriend, and my dad. And my dad is shit faced. And they're doing this whole ritual where they're like, you know, putting the sugar cube on the spoon, pouring the water, all that. My drink's finally ready. My dad grabs my fucking drink and just fucking downs the whole thing and
Oh.
goes, "This shit doesn't do anything." I'm like, "Dude, first off, you literally just fucking put it into your system." And his like eyes are half closed to begin with at this point. I was like, and I'm like, "You gotta make me one." And they're like, "We only have this one bottle. That was your drink." He got it again, though. So I think they did make me a drink, but they were like, "Fuck, man, you're fucking dad, dude." I'm like, "I'm sorry."
Oh wow.
Magical times.
Yeah, no.
But anyways, what are we talking about? It's
Whatever
beer.
we
This is
want.
the perfectly beer show, right?
Yeah.
I'd say try it sometime if you ever get the chance. It's not like don't, I would not be afraid, you know, if you ever get the chance, which probably won't, but like if you ever get the opportunity, I would drink it because the hallucinogen, like, don't worry, it's like I said, it's like a little extra tingly sensation on top of the alcohol. It's nothing like,
I'll probably be
it's
seeing
not like
fucking
doing
spiders
acid.
climbing out of the
No,
walls.
yeah, I don't think I saw anything. I mean, maybe if you drink enough, I have no idea, but you know, like I
Just
said,
like
that presents its own problem because it's a very strong liquor too. Like,
down a whole
right.
bottle and probably die of alcohol poisoning.
Yeah. Just to see the spiders. Yeah,
I saw them. Now my liver is destroyed.
no.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, we didn't really have a plan for this, so there was some weird game news.
We had news. Yes,
Yeah,
what's the
there
news?
was some news. You guys know Blooper Team?
I don't. I
don't know my name, but I know him now.
Wait, they made that Blair Witch game
That was
last
bad.
2 years ago. And then they made the Medium, which was released in January. They have partnered with Konami and will be working on one of two planned Silent Hill games.
Whoa.
Wait, what?
There are two planned Silent Hill games?
There are two planned Silent Hill games. The other one is by a well, the speculation is that it is by a Japanese developer. People are kind of going out on a limb and saying it is Koei Tecmo, who have a history of working with other publishers and their IPs. which would make sense, I guess. I don't know. But there is, we definitely know Blooper Team is working on a Silent Hill game. So there's that.
Weird. I mean, I guess you liked the medium, right?
Yeah, it was all right. It's decent enough. I mean, there's definitely some Silent Hill vibes to it. I also, Silent Hill has this weird online persona kind of following, I guess. And I think people think Silent Hill is bigger than it is.
I mean, it's one of those franchises that has a very loyal fan base.
Yeah.
But yes, it's one of those things. I mean, to just poke fun at Jeff, it's kind of like Metroid, where it's like the people who like it more than anything would point to liking it for.
Yes.
I mean, I think you're missing Metroid a little bit here. I don't like that.
I mean, I think Silent Hill is probably more popular than Metroid mainstream.
Maybe.
It's possible. I mean, the first three games, I think, did pretty well. Also, those games haven't been good since the PlayStation 2.
Oh, we are getting in trouble here.
But they have they? Like, I mean, outside of, like, what, Origins, and which was that on the PSP?
They were never good.
Silent Hill was good. Like, the first and the second game are good games.
Yeah, we could just play Resident Evil.
I actually remember playing Silent Hill and enjoying it. I'm just saying, yeah. I don't remember that about any Resident Evil game.
Well, you gotta play them, Tony.
I've played some of them, and I haven't liked them.
I mean, they're different types of games. Like, Resident Evil is going for, you know, more of a B-movie horror type vibe, and Silent Hill is more, it's really more like spooky Japanese ghost story type thing. And then they mix in, like, the alternate reality.
Should I play
be right up your alley, Jeff. Like,
should I play Fatal Frame? I like Silent Hill 2. It's about the only one I like.
I think 1, 2, 3, and 4 are decent games.
The Wii one too, the weird Wii one that I think people don't like.
Shattered Memories.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
And I like the idea of it. I've not played it, but I like the idea of a video game that is non-combative.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's been done a lot now. Yeah. What's that one where you, like, are always sneaking around and scary? Yeah, scary as fuck, yes.
Yeah, Outlast was pretty good. They did a good job.
Yeah, Outlast was pretty scary. Should I play Fatal Frame? Should I play that Fatal Frame that they're putting out on the Switch, which I think is the Wii U?
Yeah. It's a Wii U title, yeah.
Fatal Frame.
Is that, like, a 4? Good game? Yeah.
I believe so. I've never actually played a Fatal Frame game, though.
Oh. People are very passionate about that one too. They're like, you should buy this so that they know that that there's 1,000 people out there that will buy a new one if you make it.
Right.
I am curious. Is there an example of that ever working?
No.
Pokemon Snap.
Is it?
Yes, because I'm assuming that Nintendo's like, you know, people are enjoying this Pokemon game. We should revive it. And not just like, oh, what can we do to kind of expand the Pokemon brand?
Oh, I thought you just meant a camera game.
No, I meant game that, like, where it's like, okay, you buy this and you tell the developers, like, we're fans. And they're like, yes, we got fans. Let's make new versions of this.
Yeah, I don't think that works.
I don't know.
I can't think of an example of where it was like, you know, do this and we'll make this this game that you have so much again.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, maybe in, like, some sort of, like, Kickstarter model, like Bloodstained.
Bloodstained?
Like that became successful enough.
Ukulele got a sequel?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
But it's not the same thing. I'm talking about something where it's, well, no, because it's like, okay, we made a game, people enjoyed it, let's make a second game. It's more, like, I'm thinking more of, like, okay, it's been I don't know. It's I can't think of an example.
Oh, no, okay. Show people that, yeah. That
it's been like a decade since.
Yeah. It's like, forever, like. Well, it's like, dude, if there's a market out there for a game, it's there. Or it's not.
Like, it's not like.
The people who are going to buy the game are the people who are going to buy the game. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's weird.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying I've heard these like fan campaigns.
No, yeah, it's always like, make sure you buy this one to let them know. It's like, well,
yeah,
the people that are going to buy it are going to buy it. You know what I mean? Like, what's to tell you? Like,
right, and then
enough to make those again or not?
Half of the people saying you should buy it don't end up buying it.
So. Fuckers.
I use Bloodstained as an example only because like that was a new franchise, but it was kind of
I guess there's examples of that where it's like it's a very popular thing that people like were going to kickstart it, and it's not like, you know, like that one, and what was the not Mega Man game,
Mighty Number 9,
yes, where it's like, okay, we'll kickstart it because there's an audience for it, but then there's like really like the people like I think of like the Wonderful 101's a good example. I love that game. I adore it. But that had a Kickstarter to have its versions re-released and stuff like that, and it came out on every system. And as far as I could tell, like the re-released versions didn't do much better than it just being on the Wii U. Because there's an audience for it, but it's not an audience that's going to sustain it beyond. Like I think sometimes with Kickstarter and stuff like that, we kind of like the perversion of like, oh, we only need to sell X, like, oh, this game sold this game sold well because it only needs to make $2 million versus an actual budgeted game, which tends to need to sell more than like 15,000 backers.
Right. Yeah, I don't know if there's a like an actual example of it ever working.
Because, me and my friend always joked, I mean, if you're a Nintendo fan, especially during the Wii era, you probably went through a lot of tests for games to come there. Like, if you buy this, Capcom's going to port over, I don't know, Resident Evil, or you'll get a first-person shooter from EA, and that never happened, so... Because the idea, like, the one I could think of is when EA found Death on the Wii with EA, what was it? Not big, but they had the Wii specific version of sports games, where it was like, oh, we're just gonna like big head mode, and it sold well, which meant like, oh, you didn't get Madden and stuff like that. You got the EA Play version with Madden with these big headed characters, and not like the actual sim game you were trying to get.
Yes. To circle back on Silent Hill, according to Wikipedia, and you know, this is as of 2013, but that was probably like the last time a big that was a year after the last game in the series came out. It had only sold 8.4 million copies total for the entire series. It's a series that has, you know, over 10 games that have come out. Like what? Resident Evil 2 remake sold more than that by itself.
Yeah, it's a franchise that has been very, very vocal fans, but yeah, it's a diehard fan that enjoys that game, but nobody else. And I mean, that's not to say there's not a market for those games. I think everybody needs those games throughout their library. But yeah, it's always fascinating to see like, people talk about. Like, it's become one of my least favorite expressions in gaming recently. Is X, Y, and Z is even money on the table if they don't do X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly it. They're even money on the table because they're not porting over, I don't know, like, let's say, what's an obscure, like, what I think about is when they did a Stunt Racer. What was that? What was that Excel shaded race game they ported over to the HD systems recently? Cell Damage? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, there's a game. Yeah, that's a game.
Yes, and people ported that over. I'm like, yeah, nobody was really craving Cell Damage.
That is so weird that they brought that back. It was like kind of a premium price too. Like it's like I could buy this on the GameCube for like $3. Nobody gives a shit.
Yeah. It's like one of those weird things where it's like I don't know what you're trying to sell here.
Yeah. I mean, I like Silent Hill. I would be happy with a new game, but
oh yeah, that's what we were talking about.
But you know, Konami is not leaving money on the table like by not making another one. Like the amount, the quality that I think people expect from the series, it just wouldn't. I don't even know if it's doable.
I think
people
like expect, isn't that studio that is gonna do it pretty small? Yeah, like
they're tiny.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, other thing, if I'm not mistaken, it's like it doesn't sound like this is a anytime soon. Like I think somebody said like this is like a 2023 title.
Yeah, I mean they just like signed the partnership, so it's not gonna be out soon. They just got done, like, the, in fact, I think the medium is going to be coming to PS5. So, like, they're probably still doing work on that port. Yeah, it's going to be a little while before whatever this Silent Hill thing shows up is. Other thing I see here is, Earl, you're going to have to fill us in because I just know there was a Mario Kart Live update right before we started recording.
Yeah, so Mario Kart, that game everybody's been playing since it came out in October of last year, had its random Nintendo update, much like Mario Party, where, you know, it could be 6 years late, and Nintendo's like, yeah, we'll update it. It comes with some new obstacles, including the oil barrel, a new Ooh. Theme, Jungkook. And it's a new Grand Prix with dinosaurs and stuff like that.
Oh, that's cool.
It is actually a pretty decent update. It's just so random
that it exists happened
right now.
It kind of feels like they forgot about Mario Kart Live.
Well, yeah, I mean, in my mind, it was like this novelty toy, so like I wouldn't expect.
My kids really like it. I have it sitting around. Like the fact that there's an update, like they'll play it.
No, I mean, that is cool.
But, like, sure. Where are, like, the other carts? Like, yeah, where's Peach, there's Mario and Luigi? You're right. Like, give me more. Give me, like, some other
more
stuff.
More toys?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I mean, I would go for, like, a Donkey Kong cart.
Right. I mean, there's a bunch of them, right? There's,
I didn't
why not?
Oh.
No, but, I mean, I would, like, if there were other carts, but it's, like, just gonna have Mario and Luigi, like that's it.
It's kind of weird. It's incredibly weird, especially from a company that normally sells so many different versions of this stuff. Like, why are there only two?
I wonder how that game did. It is Mario Kart, so like, it probably did okay.
Like, I don't
not
know
as
though.
Good, you know, obviously, not as good as a normal Mario Kart, but it probably like you know sold.
I mean, to be fair. In the grand scheme of things, I believe there is only like two or three franchises in all of gaming that does better than Mario Kart.
Yeah.
Right. So,
but is this considered a flop next to other Mario Karts?
Probably. I mean, there's no way they expected it to sell as much as Mario Kart. It's expensive. It's you know.
I mean, it's $100 at full price to get like
the cart in the game.
The cart. Well, the game is free.
Okay.
So if you have the cart,
you can download the game now. You can't do anything with it, but
you're
already done.
You need the cart, but the the game is $0. Which I mean, again, why don't you just like offer a bunch of different carts? Like, why isn't? I don't understand. I don't get it.
Chip shortage. That's what it is.
Yeah. I mean, it might be. It very well could be.
I could control Tony's cart, like. I could play Tony in Tony's living room, and I control his Luigi. Like, add that. Can
that
you do
would
that?
Be cool.
That'd be cool.
That would be really cool.
That would be
can't.
Really fucking wild.
But you can do it.
Like, I'm driving through. I'm literally driving through Tony's fucking living room. Okay.
I mean, the other thing about the game, like, you can play multiplayer, but you each need your own Switch, which is
Yeah,
oh, so
yeah, see,
unfortunate.
it's
So, so the game is like $400.
Yes.
There's a barrier.
But like right now, I have two Switches in my house, so my kids could play together.
Yeah.
They could
that's
drive it
cool.
around.
Ghost of Tsushima is getting a director's cut.
Oh my God. I get it. I love it. I love the idea that it exists. I'm glad that there's a PS5 version of this game now. I am not paying $70 for it after having bought it for $60 last year.
Well, you, Tony, can upgrade your version for $30 to the director's cut if you want it on
Ooh.
PS5. Otherwise, it's $20 if you want to upgrade the PS4 version.
Now, is this true of the disc versions? I have it on disc.
I don't know. I
See
sold.
that's the thing that gets me. I don't know. Like $30, I might be willing to do that.
But yeah, will it work? Sony's been
Right.
weird, like,
I
about
mean
that
they've
stuff.
added a bunch of stuff to this game since I played it. The other problem though, I platinumed this game. So if I'm going to play it again, like I have experienced all of the content. So they added a new island in DLC to this thing. But like the description of what happens on the island is like the description of like everything from the core game. So I'm like, is this a new experience? Like you go into this place and he confronts ghosts from his past. Like it's like the entire game. That's what the entire game is about. So you're gonna like send me to this little island and I'm going to have the same
More
experience over again.
just with different characters this time.
Right. Right. I don't know.
Well,
But I adore this game. So I mean I do kind of have this urge, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
that
You have
was
a need for speed.
Jeff and I do not have a need for speed. Yeah, that's one of the complaints I heard about it, Tony, is that it just feels like it's really cool it exists, but it feels like it's more Ghost of Tsushima,
Yeah.
which is great if you want it, but maybe like a year after release, or like it's a long game, like people put a lot of time into it,
Yeah.
so maybe they'll be waiting on it,
Right.
like you.
I mean, I adore this game. I think it's fantastic. $30 for more of the same game is, well,
A year later,
a year later.
which I think is because I had this discussion, and I think because it's like, yes, I think as an industry, we've kind of accepted that people will port games and stuff like that. And I mean, not surprising that it's being ported to the PlayStation 5, but the fact that it's like a year later, it's like, oh yeah, the PlayStation 4, like just new content and stuff. It's like, and it doesn't seem meaty enough to be, it doesn't seem meaty enough to be like DLC. But it doesn't seem like $30 worth of, and it's like if you, because it's like it's so weird because I mean I guess like at this point it's like whatever, because if you buy the director's cut on the PS4, that's only $10 to upgrade, but if you own it, it's $30 to upgrade. And it seems like you're just screwing over the people, the early adopters.
It's like that control update, right? Like, oh, we're re-releasing this, and if you buy the Control Ultimate Edition, you'll get the free upgrade to PS5 and Xbox Series X. But if you bought regular Control, sorry.
So if you're a dumb enough to be a fan of ours, that's
Right.
on you.
That's almost what it sounds like, right? I think that's it for. I mean, there was some Diablo 4 stuff, I guess, came out. I didn't see any of it, so I don't know.
I feel like you're missing the one thing. The I don't remember the company's name, but the company that Sony purchased today.
Oh, Housemarque.
Oh, okay. Two companies this week, then, because they
They bought another
purchased.
company?
Yes, they bought a Nixix or something like that, which is a I think Polish company, who are mostly, I think they mostly work with Square Enix to port some of their games to PC. And Sony announced a partnership with them today. So, yeah.
And they also bought Housemarque.
Yes. Who, I mean, it's kind of like, I think when we discuss Nintendo buying the next level game, it's like one of those weird things where it's like, it makes sense, but it's also like, it's like asking your wife to marry you or go on a date. It's like you kind of are already together. It's just nice to make it official, I guess.
Yeah, it's like, yo, you've been married for 12 years, but not legally married. Now we're just gonna bring you in. You're now actually officially part of the family. Thank you for joining us. All right, well, cool for Housemarque, I guess. I had not heard the Nixus stuff. I don't know who they are either.
Yeah, I think that a lot of the people are just excited because it's a company that really worked on porting like Square Enix games to PC. So a lot of people are just thinking that it means, I mean, and Sony has done a good job recently of porting PlayStation titles to PC. I think people are just taking it to mean like this is going to be a big part of their business model going forward.
Yep, and I think there was like what somebody saw in the code for the Epic Game Store, like Ghost of Tsushima listed. So
Yeah.
that will probably be dropping at some point. So I mean, good on them, I guess. I don't I see that news and I don't wade into the comments on it because it is just terrible fanboy nonsense.
Yep. Yep.
And I guess the other, if we're gonna talk Sony, some independent developers got out there and were,
They should not speak. You don't want Daddy Sony to beat you
yeah, so
behind the barn.
they were referring to Platform X, and talking about how it's very hard to be visible on the PlayStation Store.
Platform X.
Yep, on platform on Platform X's store, that it's like you have to be invited into a special group if you want to put your game on sale. Like you want to give a discount on your game, you want to do a launch week discount. It seems like there's a lot of hoops. Like if you're trying to develop for Platform X and sell your game, and some devs got out there and they put Platform X on blast, and fans did not take lightly to that either.
And again, from a standpoint of I get the tribalism between like, oh, my company can't be bad, my company's good people. I kind of get that, but like people are, my favorite thing is like the first person's like, oh, I'd be surprised if it wasn't Nintendo. Like it's not Nintendo, and I'm like, crap, who could it be? But yes, and then a lot of the votes came out because not only does it not make you more visible, it also means that your sales are not up to snuff. And I mean, calling a spade, you kind of see that in how Platform X, you can kind of see that in how Platform X treats independent developers. Like, I don't, the last time they really kind of, I want to say, like, embraced them in the way that, like, Microsoft had, I mean, well, oh, crap. The
Platform Y.
head commander, like, it was the head commander and the platform with the plumber, treats them. Like, platform with the plumber will have completely, like, they will have shows dedicated to their independent games. Microsoft will, platform the commander would have shows dedicated to, like, they will have it as part of like ID at Xbox or like stuff like that. And Platform X, you think about, like, I don't know the last time they really kind of featured them in that manner.
Right, they really kind of just feature their own, I mean, really their own home games.
Which again,
Hey, go
isn't
ahead.
bad, but.
Right. I mean, they're great games, but ugh. If you're making games, if you're an independent developer, you're probably going to ignore that platform. You'd almost have to if you feel like they're not going to support you.
Well, to hear that, to like even kind of get any sort of placement is like $25,000. Like, if you're a small
Right.
developer, like that's a lot of
That
money.
that's so much money.
Yeah, and they talk about for them, the big thing is you get to be featured on the blog, and they're like, yeah, the blog doesn't do anything, and I'm gonna call a spade. I don't read video game blog that often. I don't go to company specific ones. Atrio, yes. Social media, yes. But oh, check out this blog post. I'm like, yeah, that's not gonna happen.
Right. I mean, it's a shame, and then from some of the developers, like, yeah, their revenue is sometimes higher there, but it's just, and to your point, Tony, they can't necessarily ignore them if you're, only releasing on console because they have the largest market. Well, I mean, I guess Switch is up there as well, but.
Well, I mean, and I mean, that's the crapshoot right now. It's because, I mean, in theory, Sony's just always assumed to have the highest market. So everybody, I mean, whatever. Sony's always assumed to have the highest market, so people always chase them.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's one of those things where, they have the highest market because everybody chases them to put their games on it. If it's like, it's, I mean, I don't see this happening, but, long term, this is what happened with Nintendo and the N64, where Nintendo got so overconfident, you have to be on our system, they went elsewhere. And if it's again, it's not going to affect Sony in the short term if EA, Activision, Ubisoft are there. But say 5, 10 years, you get a Minecraft breakout or a Fortnite where it's like, oh, we don't want you in our system because you're not that important right now.
Right.
Then you kind of use the boat because we've seen indie breakouts. We've seen games like, I mean, like you look at Sony, like Fall Guy was a big game for them last year. Hades was a big game on the Switch last year. And missing out on that is just as key as like missing out on like Madden or a Call of Duty in some ways.
Yep, like because sometimes those indies do take off like that, and they, Fall Guys only kind of held people's, main attention for a few weeks, but it was the biggest game for a couple weeks in the summer last year. But yeah, so we're not talking about Sony though. Platform X. What were you saying? Platform Commander as well. I like that one. That's
Yes.
good.
Where did these names come from?
It was like I think other companies were trying to stick with the platform X, so like to differentiate, like one person like show had a pie graph of like this is how all sales break down on platform X. So they had, like Ed Redd for the filmer platformer, and then yeah, I thought it was really cute. So yeah.
Yeah. But even that, like where actual developers are going, this isn't necessarily working for me. Fanboys for both sides. Fortunately, I didn't see a lot of like Nintendo getting involved, but it's basically anytime somebody mentions anything about PlayStation, it draws out the worst of or Xbox, it draws out the worst of both sides, and they just start
Best of the
yelling at each
best.
other. Yes, the best of them. Just not the best of the fans. Where they just yell at each other. You guys play anything this past week?
No.
No?
I have.
What were you playing, Earl?
I checked out the demo of Neo, The World Ends With You.
I thought everybody bought Mario Golf and this is going to be the game of the summer. What the fuck happened?
Did any of us, other than you and Chris, buy Mario Golf? Chris,
That's
did
a
you even buy Mario Golf?
I did.
Walt has it, but he's not on the show.
He doesn't count then.
Not for the sake of this discussion. But I mean, I'm not a huge Mario Golf fan. I also think like Mario Sports titles, if nothing else, are the Nintendo games that like I could see being like $40 around Christmas time. I mean, you can already get it for $50 now. So, and I think again, I hear the same thing about Aces. I think I hear Aces became a much better game by the time like all the DLC and everything came out because you get more characters, more courts and stuff like that. Where I mean, the big complaint I've heard about Mario Golf so far is the lack of content in some regards.
We'll get to Mario Golf shortly.
It has legs.
It has, but yes, I've been playing Neo: The World Begins Ends With You, which is a sequel. World Ends With You, now with Neo in front of it, and I have to say, so far I really enjoyed the demo. It's about the first 2 hours of the game. So, you know, and I did not realize this because they really should make it clear that you save the game ahead of the boss. Because if you don't, it just resets the demo. If you don't, you can carry over your progress to the main game. Whatever. It does not matter. But, yeah, it's just a real quick backstory. The World Ends With You was a DS RPG that came out more than a decade ago. That I liked the style of, but I couldn't play because it was an RPG that played on both screens, which was kind of confusing at the time. I'm an old man. What can I say? This one is made for consoles. It's on the Switch and the PS4, I believe. So it's a single screen experience, and they had to retrofit the combat for that. And the combat is very much kind of action oriented. It's not turn based. But it's not necessarily what you would consider like an action RPG. It's not like a Tales of or something like that where you're constantly you're attacking. What you have instead are you have attacks that are assigned to specific characters, which are then assigned to specific buttons and specific tasks. So like your main character can have I stick to a fairly basic combo. The main character has like his attack is on X. The secondary character's attack is on Y. The third character is... It varies depending on your attack. So the first attack that you're in is like a diving kick. That's holding down right bumper or R on the Switch. And you charge that up and then you let it go. What you can do with that is you can charge that up while controlling characters because pressing the buttons will let you control whichever character you're doing, and then it's like working out that combination because like it's kind of like a rhythm based game, and kind of like you build the groove with your teammates, so you kind of create combos, and those combos like stunning your enemies, it can lead to dizzying them, and then if you groove well enough, you hit 100%, and that's where you can kind of do like the team super move and stuff like that. It sounds pretty basic, but you get a ton of pins, which are the game attacks. And those pins, you can evolve and level up by using them, and they have different attributes. Like, you know, basic stuff like elemental abilities, but also some do knockback, some do area of effect damage. Some of them stun enemies in place. Some of them are like time-delayed attacks, where it's like you do this, and then you hit them afterwards, and it explodes. So it's like figuring out the right combination of moves with the right characters and stuff like that, and actually unleashing them in a timely manner. And the other thing that I enjoyed this about the first one as well, again, even though I was not great at the game, is that it has a really sense, because it takes place in Neo Tokyo, which is kind of like a modern day Tokyo, but a little futuristic. And it's you know, like the big part of it is in Shibuya, which is kind of like Tokyo's Times Square, from what I gathered and been told. Mm-hmm. It's like it's one of the few, like not few, but as far as like mainstream like console RPGs, it's one of the few that takes it does not like have its settings in fantasy. And it's like it's a really nice change of pace to have something that's really modern. The characters communicate via smartphone. You see them make text in with emojis and shorthands that you kind of expect people would talk with in this day and age. Yeah, and like 10 years, it's going to make the game extremely dated, but whatever. But the fact is, it has a sense of style And that's this isn't in the demo, but I know it's in the original game, and you see pieces of it in the trailer at the end of the demo. It's like part of the game is also dressing up your characters in like the latest fashions or the fashions of the area, and those give you bonuses and buffs or debuffs depending on where you are. So again, it's kind of like one of these things where it's like it's nice to kind of modernize, just like, oh, you're wearing armor and stuff like that. It's like, okay, you're dressing a certain style. You, I mean, to use a term from Splatoon, you want to be fresh. And I like the fact that it's just modern and not like fantastical, which again is a fine setting, but like Final Fantasy is fantastical, Dragon Quest is fantastical, stuff like that, where a lot of I would say stuff like Dragon Age is fantastical. A lot of RPGs have their roots in like D&D and Tolkien, where it's like dragons and elves and orcs and stuff like that. And this is not that. Like, you fight bears, fight wolves, and you fight squids and stuff like that. And it's like very fun.
Real stuff.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, they are real stuff, but it's also just really nice. Because, I mean, there was an RPG recently that was revealed, and I'm like, it was like not a soccer RPG. I forget what it was, but I'm like, it's nice to see something that isn't necessarily in the fantasy trapping. And I do want, like, Immortals of Heaven is a franchise I want to get into more than I have, because it's an RPG that takes place in soccer, and it's like, that's not a combination you see ever. So, yeah.
And when does that game come out?
It comes out at the end of this month, I believe.
Okay.
So I am kind of tempted to pick it up, but I also feel like it's one of those games that, like, I mean, Connor's Fate is Fate. It's not going to sell super well. It's going to be like $10.
You got to buy it to show them that you want, that people want it.
Yeah, but I could also just buy it when it's on fire sale. Because that's the type of game it is. I mean, the first game was like that, too.
I remember my girlfriend at the time loved that first game. Blew her mind. I never played it.
I always thought it had a neat style, but I never got around to
it. Yeah, it seemed like a neat idea on the DS.
Well, I guess we'll circle back to that Mario Golf game, Jeff.
Yeah.
That's a game.
It's a game. It's a good game. It
has Mario in it.
You play golf. It's good. Admit it. It's good.
Sure. It is good. I don't like golf. I think that's what I've come down to. I don't like golf games.
Oh, no.
What brings this?
I don't think I've ever liked golf games, Jeff.
What?
You know, the mini golf game we played last year, golf with your friends. I think that's the extent of my golf. I think that's where
that game was really good.
You've never gotten a Tiger Woods?
No.
Oh my god, it's so relaxing.
Yeah, like if I'm gonna play a sports game, I think I prefer to play like a team sports game, like hockey or football or even basketball, which I'm not generally a fan of. But
dude, golf for me personally, video game golf is like the top of video game sports.
I can definitely see people like getting into it. This is like a good beginner's, like, to learn video game golf. I think that this is a very good job for it, because I'm actually learning more about how to play video game golf than I ever had playing like Tiger or anything like that.
It's got most of the elements you have to think about in video game golf, like, you know, or probably golf in real life. I do not golf in real life. I wish I did, because I love it. But, you know, you have to think about wind. You have to think about elevation. It's just none of those systems in this are as semi.
They're not.
It's like when you're putting, you get the grid, like showing the topography of like the green, and it's like way more forgiving than like say 2K21. You know what I mean?
Like a lot of the greens are like very flat, like or with very little elevation.
Well, even if there's a curve, it just seems if you're within an inch or so of where the where it should be, it kind of just goes in. Not always.
That's what she said.
Never for me, but
Wait, no.
it's easier.
Sorry.
Except, like, the funny thing about when you're putting on the green or whatever, it's like the more sim-like golf games usually give you a putt preview line that shows the line your ball will travel at, at where they set you to begin with, and then you have to like move, like adjust, and you usually can't see it again because they want you to use some sort of fucking thinking to get the putt. They don't have that in this. It's like there is no putt line.
You're eyeballing it.
You just have to eyeball the way the ground curves, and it's still somehow easier, in my opinion, than like, Tiger Woods or 2K. Anyways, I feel like we're getting ahead of stuff. I don't know.
Don't
You
know.
don't
Are
like
you not
it?
talking about it now?
I mean, there's what a story mode. That's what I mostly played so far.
Yeah.
It's like goofy story mode. Like it imports your me. Or did you have to create a me, Jeff? Like it just took my me and was like,
I made one specifically for it.
okay. It's like,
I have a me, I think, or whatever, but I was just like, I want to make one that looks more like me. I posted it. He has a mustache.
That's all he has there, Greg. Jeff, he has a mustache.
Which is funny because Jeff barely has a mustache.
Hey,
That's why it's
it's just because
humorous.
I'm fair,
It's like
color.
I go a week without shaving and I have a bigger mustache than Jeff does
If
after a
it was,
year.
hey,
None
of this is a not. No, Jeff, I'm just saying. If you want to just be like, that is not true, say it.
go for it, Jeff. Go say
what?
it.
Anyway, there's so you created a
I'm a hairy
me.
guy too. It's not really a fair contest.
Jeff created a me. It imported my me. You start off in like I don't know. It's like Golf Town or something like that. Like it's this golf course. You meet up with Birdo. She's your golf mom. And
Ooh.
you're living with what? It's like Charging Chuck, Toadette, and Abu. And they're the other rookie golfers that you're there with, and like it gives you like oh go through like this tutorial, learn how to like drive the ball, learn how to set up shots, learn how to putt, and then you go through like a course and you do that, and then you unlock a new course and move on, and that new course like has you do a different type of golf. And it keeps moving. Like there's like it's basically like a really extended tutorial for all the different modes and gameplay type things. Plus, it also kind of teaches you and gives you challenges on how to how to learn how to play the game.
I think that's probably accurate description. I have not finished the story mode, but like every review says, no, it's not the fully fleshed out story mode that you get in Advanced Tour, which is a Hall of Fame game.
It is.
This is, it seems like that because like you're playing golf, you get stats, you get stat points to spend after you play. There's the hub area, there's people you can go talk to. It seems like that very early on, but as far as I can tell, it's really just going to show you all the different things you like can do, and then like here's all the courses, and then that's going to be because as far as I've heard, the story mode is only like 3 4 hours long, so it can't be much more than that, right? Like
Oh, so I
it.
might almost be done then.
I mean, I'm struggling with it a little bit because well, I just stopped playing it altogether because I don't know. I locked all the courses by spoilers. None of the reviews tell you this because all these people are losers who play by themselves. Every review says, or especially like the negative ones are like the story mode sucks. Like look at IGN's review. It's like the story mode sucks, but unfortunately, you have to play through it to unlock all the courses. And guess what? If you play multiplayer, when you're done playing a round of golf, you can do 9 holes. It just unlocks the next course. So it's like, no, you don't have to fucking, you really do not have to. But I
You
can see why people would
liars.
assume that. Like,
You lying liars who lied.
you're playing through the story mode for review, and then you're unlocking courses that way. you're not really playing a whole lot of the multiplayer because you're playing this game for review, so I could see why you would assume
you would think that's that, how you you would think you know, that Nintendo would have sent like a review sheet with that and been like, hey, like, you know, you'll unlock them in single player,
so you know,
also
yeah.
unlock them in multiplayer. Because they know, like, they're not...
They probably figured the game was short enough and whatever that, like, right. it didn't matter either way. Yeah. But smart of them to do it that way, in my opinion, because not everyone is going to want to play through the story mode, I think. Like, and I think that some people will struggle with the story mode.
Like, I mean, it gets... Like, some of the challenges that you have to do to advance, like, get...
Very early on, hard. Too, yeah. yeah.
There's a... Which I like this mode... In a way, it's called it's cross country golf. It's called XC golf, I think is what they call it in the game. But basically, like you start at a tee shot, and then what is it like 9 holes you have to complete, Jeff?
Yeah,
nine holes in like 40 shots.
And you tackle them in any order.
Yeah,
and you're running around this entire course like it's weird. Yeah,
so it's not like. Like, you can start off from, like, the tee, and instead of going to hole 1, you can go to hole 9. Like, you can just shoot your ball across the course yeah. and start that way, or, like, you map your, you know, however you want to approach it.
And you really have to think about it on this course, because this course is just cliffs, cliff city. So it's like, if you end a hole, you know, like, you pick up for, like, wherever the, you know, hole was. Yep. And then it's like, well, I can't reach anything from here because there's, like, cliffs. Like, I can't hit the ball that high. And then also you have to run to the ball. So, like, if you hit a ball up on top of a cliff, getting to it... I mean, I guess this mode is not timed, but that becomes a problem in the speed golf mode, like, that we can do later.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, like, I don't know. I found it hard to plan out, like... The way I finally beat it is going, okay, I need to go from high to low.
That's exactly how I did it.
Yeah, so it's like a puzzle. Like, and that's probably the correct solution to the puzzle. Like, you got to start up high, even if it seems to not make sense to go that way. You, like, start up high, go one way all the way down the course, and work your way back to where you started, basically.
Yeah, you
that's how I did it.
You hop up to that top level and, like, hit the holes that are up there. Then go down a level, hit the holes that are there. Like, it's just yeah. you burn a bunch of shots early because
getting around you burning shots. Yeah, like, yeah. you're
trying to get up, and it's a pain in the ass. But I actually do like the way that it kind of is, like you said, a puzzle.
What I like about it is that, you know, like that mode in particular, like that you've never seen that in a golf game before. Like, it's complete, like, Tiger Woods, you know, or 2K, do not do that. Like, it's just regular golf. Right. You're not running also between, like, you don't, like, take a shot or whatever, or I don't know yeah. what you call it, and then just run to the, like, ball. Like, that's
I'm not sure thing. I like that. Like, it might be fun in multiplayer, like, where you can I knock think it over will be. People, but like, yeah. as single player, it's like, this is stupid. Like, just bring me to my fucking next shot.
I don't know, it kind of combines, like, this Mario Kart atmosphere with the golf, because, like, you know, there's, like, pickups along the way, and, you know, running down the fairway, and you grab a heart that fills up your, like, boost meter, like, your run meter, but then you can hit, like, this super boost and run people over. Like, there is a race, like, a real race element to it.
Right, when there's, but, like, when you're with other people, right? Like,
so yeah,
like,
playing against a computer.
But even like when you're playing with the computer, at least there's that. But when they just throw you on the course and it's like with XC Golf, like you weren't playing.
Yeah, there's no point to having to run. So, I mean, I guess it's just a. It's kind of an exploration.
Yeah, I guess like because and it's like oh how do you figure out how to get up to the level, like above yeah. like you like, that's the only thing I could think though because like otherwise it's like I'm just running and like climbing up. Clips and stuff. This is dumb. Like, just let me hit the ball. And of course, yeah. like I play everything like Charging Chuck, and it's just like hit it as hard as I possibly can. doesn't always work out very well for me.
I have not tried speed golf in multiplayer yet, but I imagine it'll be fun. I just gotta throw it on one time and make it happen. But
is speed? I think is that the desert one? where you learn to do speed golf. It's like you have a certain amount of
water. But yeah, you can play any, you know, when you're playing multiplayer, you can play any course.
Right.
They ask you, like, do you want to do this, that, or...
I was just trying to think of, like, I think I tried speed golf. Like,
yeah.
I think that's the part I'm at.
Yes, I fucked it up. And that's when I, like, quit and went to play multiplayer with my girlfriend, and then we realized, oh, you don't have to do the story mode, so I've not gone back to the story mode yet. I fucked up. So, yeah, you get this sand course, and then they're like, you have to play speed golf, and I'm, like, 11 holes into it. I accidentally hit my ball off the side of a cliff. I'd go down and, like, hit the ball off the cliff. Then my character was stuck between, like, the cliff and a tree. And I'm, like, running around. It took me a fucking minute and a half probably to, like, get unstuck and then run around and find a path up the cliff. Well, by that point, I've lost any advantage I've built over the last 11 holes. Like, it's, like, my fucking run was shot. And it's, like, it's too long of a... You know, 18 holes is too long. That's the one they force you to do 18 holes to. It's the only, as far as I've heard, in the whole story mode, that's the only time you have to play 18 holes. And I'm like, how come all the other ones were like 9 holes, 3 holes? Why the fuck did you make this 18 holes where you could like easily fuck up like that? Like right. I did.
It's like, just let me do that one with 9 holes or 6 holes.
Exactly,
or 3 holes.
Dude. Like,
I want to play like the full course, like just play it as 18 holes, but you're like, ah, no, this one's a 3-hole course. Move on.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah.
I think it's a good game, as I said when we started, though. Like, golf just maybe isn't for me. It's fine. Not everything.
I will say this: the game has some legs because, my girlfriend's daughter, first off, my girlfriend likes it. She'll like ask me every night, do you want to play golf? I'm like, damn, okay. We're finally off of Mario Kart 8. So she asked me to play around every night. And then her daughter and her daughter's boyfriend, even though all of them are fucking terrible and I'm the fucking golf master, they've been over twice now to play it.
Nice.
Watch next time Jeff coming back. Like, they keep on beating my ass.
Dude, they're so like, that's right. Her daughter's boyfriend is absolutely terrible. I'm just like, dude, are you like looking at anything? Are you looking at the wind? Are you looking at, like, all right, you don't feel like you're putting, and there's like the meter on the right, and they show where on the meter the pin is, like. Yep. Like, how hard do you have to hit it? He'll hit it like at half the power to reach the pin, and then it makes it 15 feet up a 30-foot hill, and you're like, he's like, god damn it. I'm like, I just want to be like, dude, do you not see, like, it's little... telling you how hard to hit the ball?
There's
like,
a flag there, hit it to that.
I'm just like, whatever, good luck. Fucking
good luck.
They're like telling me tonight that I'm using cheat codes or something. I'm like, dude, I am literally just reading it. Like, I'm reading all the things I'm supposed to read.
Jeff, stop,
and I'm making my shot.
Stop using cheat codes and Mario.
Yeah, cheat codes. Looking at the wind. Looking at the elevation. It's. I don't know, man. Like, I get. I think part of it is like I am super used to golf games, and usually they're much harder than this. But like, I don't know.
Have either of you tried the motion controls?
No, I heard they're terrible.
Absolutely, yeah. Everything I've heard is that it is...
It's not a game designed for it, which, no. Thank God.
Like, they're there, they're, like, tacked on, and I follow... Jeff follows him, too, but, like, he's, like, really into golf games, and he was, like, the motion controls are atrocious.
Yeah, I've watched reviews talking about it. Like, they use the motion controls to play the same game. Like, you're using the meter and all that, and it's like, what? There's no way that could work and feel good. And actually, like, you could be good enough to compete. I mean, I'm sure there will be people that, like, figure it out, but, like, it looks trash to me, and I don't need that. Maybe you could have fun with it on, like, the easiest course and just, like, to fuck around. But, like, no, it's not going to be a successful way to play through the story mode or whatever of this game.
It might be like, as you said, like if you're playing with other people.
Just to fuck around. But even then, like the button controls are perfectly, it's a fun game as is. Like to just,
Since Tony didn't play anything, I guess we'll just wrap it up. Jeff and I played a little more Dungeons and Dragons Dark Alliance. So Jeff's played a lot more.
I think it Jeff is enjoying the game.
It's good, yeah. It's like I was saying last night to Chris, like be easier to defend the game if it didn't have so many issues in terms of like the game is fun, but man, there are fucking
So
issues
it's
with
like
it.
so weird, like, and they just like weirdly pop up, like last
Yeah.
night we weren't getting the final, like they bring you to this tally screen at the end. It's like, here's how you did, like here's all the damage you did, and here's the gems you got, and here's the loot you got. And we weren't getting the final screen. It would just like, so it seemed like the game was frozen every time we finished a level.
But it wasn't. It was just doing some weird shit. Big one that happens all the time is an enemy drops a critical item that you need to
Oh,
advance to
yep.
like unlock a fucking gate or something, and the item doesn't quite fall to the ground. It's floating a little bit above the ground, and it won't let you pick it up. Like
It's like
you're just like.
you have to walk away.
You walk away and it auto picks it up. It'll just be like, you've picked up this item. And it's like, I didn't, but thanks for like at least somehow designing around your bad fucking bugs. Like, I don't know. Like,
And that happens in single player too. Like, it's not just like that. It's just, that's a weird bad bug.
that needs to be fixed. Playing with my friend the other night, and it says my batteries are dying on my controller. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. Can I like switch my controller? And my friend's like, I don't know. I've done that all the time. Like, you can do that. I was like, okay. So I turn off my controller, turn on my other controller that's fully charged, and my character just starts walking backwards. And that's the only thing he will do is walk backwards. So the whole rest of the, like, we're playing with three, like, it's a four player thing. And I am rendered useless for like 25 minutes as I just walk backwards off the edge of the level over and over and over, or walk into a corner and keep walking in the corner. Like, I could literally not even move my camera to watch what they were doing. I was just like, if the camera got stuck up above me, it was just, I was looking down on my guy walking backwards into a wall. But then the next level we played, my friend got disconnected like deep into the fucking level, and so he didn't get any of the fucking loot. Like, so, there's like very bad frustrations with that game, but it's like, I think it says something that we're all still playing it and like playing it together, that
Yeah.
there's something there too. Like,
Just like your friends, it happens.
it's yeah, well, I don't know. It's the game. You take these things aside, that's kind of what I was saying last week. You take these things aside, it's the game that I expected out of it. Like, it's a fun action RPG, like, different from the old Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance, more like Chris has said, like kind of like those Lord of the Ring games where it's like 3D action, but fun. Like, it, like, I think the controls start to feel really good once you get used to them.
Yeah, I think that's a big piece of it. Like, you have to figure out, because all four of the characters control completely differently. They all feel different when you're playing them. So you have to kind of figure out which one works best for you, and how to make the characters work, towards your play style. Because if you're going in like, and you pick Wulfgar, who's the big like brutish hulking dude with the hammer, like he's a little bit slow, and like if you want to be a faster, like you want to play faster, that's not the character for you to pick. Like he's high damage, but he's slow.
Also, if you want to sprint, click the left stick. Jeff, me, did not know this.
It's like the standard for all games.
I had
Jeff, me did
Dark
not
Souls.
notice.
Jeff fails
I
in
had Dark
gaming
Souls
101.
stuck in my
101.
brain because Dark Souls, the roll and the sprint are the same button. It's the B button, and then like here to roll, it's B. So I kept trying to hold down B to run. because I got Dark Souls control stuck in my head, and I was like, oh wait, what is sprint in every other game? Oh yeah, click the left.
Okay, Jeff's learning game design 101 in 2021.
I mean, I knew this. I guess I played a lot of Dark Souls early in this year, and
Does
that
Jeff
was
know
stuck
there's a
in my
run
head.
button in the Mario games?
Oh,
Yes, my thumb never leaves it.
it was funny last night watching Jeff. We come up, like, Jeff's buddy jumps across this, like, this platform. I jump across the platform, and we proceed to watch Jeff jump and fall
Fell
into
like
a
three
pit three
times.
times in a row. Like,
I
come
mean,
on.
they're not particularly great platforming controls. Like, it's just like if you're
It's
not
the
at the
controls.
infantry
Everybody
number.
else is fine. Jeff,
I
like, no,
mean,
it's the controls. It's the controls.
Like, you have
I
to,
don't know. I don't really have a good excuse.
it is to a point, Tony, like, you have to weirdly line up your jumps precisely, because if you don't, like, these chasms are, like, they're just out of reach. So if you're not, like, going right to the edge and pressing jump, or you're jumping too early, like, you're missing it by, like, an inch.
Usually when you successfully make a jump, it's kind of like you're grabbing onto the ledge and then like
Yeah.
pulling up. But like if you just touch the edge, it's just like you just fall. Like
Oops.
it's like
Bye.
a hair of difference between the two. I don't know. And so if you jump just a little bit early off of, the ledge you're on, you're not gonna make it. You're gonna fall. I don't know. It's whatever.
That is one of the things that I don't like about it, though, is like you can fall off a cliff, and granted, you don't die when that happens. You'll respawn,
Yeah.
losing a little bit of health, but you can't knock the enemies off the cliff. So, like, they'll
Yeah.
like hit like an invisible wall as you're hitting them, and you can actually stab through them or slash through them and fall off a cliff if you get too close. It's like,
Yeah.
why did you design it this way? It's so dumb.
Yeah, you gotta bring that Dark Souls design where you could like a boss could accidentally kill themselves. That's like the best thing in Dark Souls when a boss accidentally jumps off the edge of the level and then it's just like souls retrieved. You're like, ha 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 ha, fucker.
Yeah, we weren't running into anything like
That
that.
doesn't
Like,
happen.
you
Nope.
have to kill
You
them.
fall off, they do not fall off.
And like, if you're playing on the higher difficulties, like, they can wreck you really quickly, especially if
Yeah.
you're under-leveled like I was.
Yeah.
Like,
I
one
always
thing was
feel
just
like
one-shotting me.
I want to go back and play like the first level on the lowest difficulty just to feel like a badass for once. Because like even though I'm almost maxed out, I still am like it's because you keep pushing higher. Then you're like, okay, now let's try tier five.
Right,
Let's
I mean,
try the tier six
we were playing tier
difficulty.
5 last night, and I was grossly under leveled, so it was like you and your buddy like handling most of the fighting while I just like poked at
But
people
like,
from beyond.
meanwhile, I feel underleveled, and I'm like, I was like at this point like 9 levels above you, like, and
Yeah.
I'm still like, oh man, I'm struggling. Like, I would get knocked down a lot too.
Yeah, I mean, and like your buddy was level 20 and he was
He's
going
still,
down, like, so
yeah.
it gets tough. And I can see where reviewers were playing this and they were trying to play on higher difficulties, and it is brutal. Like,
Yeah.
play a little bit lower and I think it's way more fun. But if you're playing with a full party, like, it is fun to play up and, like, have me running around reviving people and poking people from out back.
At its core, it's a pretty fun game, dude. Like, it's, I don't know, think about how rare it is to see me get into an online game like that, where I'm just like,
Yeah.
let's do. I'm gonna bounce off it as soon as I see the credits roll, but
It
probably.
is, yeah, like, once we beat it, I'm probably done with it. I'm not
No,
going through with all four characters.
I'm gonna say I max out my character. I'm gonna try to get the achievements for like filling out my trees and all that, and
Yeah.
a good time was had by all. Bring on Diablo 2.
It is funny though, this game is, I was telling this to Jeff, like, the characters in the game are based on a series of, like, a long-running series of books by Ari Salvatore, for the Forgotten Realms, like Dungeons and Dragons stuff. And this game, like, really loves its lore. Like, and it is trying to give
It's
you
giving you
story.
so much, and it's just like you don't care because it's just this trashy online fucking game.
Yeah,
Like,
and like I like these characters, but it's like, man, like I don't care, man. Like, just let me slash shit and.
I mean, I don't even know if there's much to the main story itself, but there's so much like side tablets you could pick up, like these the things you could read. It's like, yeah. I don't think a lot of people are playing this game to read the fucking lore of what's going on. It's just like, give me a new fucking frost axe or fucking lightning or whatever the
Exactly, like you
fuck.
want the loot,
Like,
and it like and it's weird because the way the story is like it picks up after the events of like a of a trilogy of books that likely nobody that is playing this game has read, like outside of maybe me. It's like they expect you to know it because like they're like talking about characters and like I don't know if you've noticed, Jeff, every time we like show up back at the camp, like he's talking about this guy Regis.
Nope.
Like so the there's a there's the shopkeeper who is always talking about this other person that's not one of the main characters that you play as. And if you don't know this series of like if you don't know the book series or like played anything previously with these people, you have no idea what the fuck he's talking about. He's just like spewing nonsense about this non-character that's not in the game. It's so weird, but
Lore for the people who are super into the lore.
yeah.
What is that word? Monorail. Monorail.
But I guess we'll probably wrap that up soon. We're pretty close, so
Close. I got like four levels left.
yeah.
I got four levels. I'm sure at this point, my buddy Kreiner is probably done with it. At this point, he'll help get me and you to the end.
Yeah, then we'll move on to something else.
Yeah.
Diablo's coming, so
Fuck yeah, dude.
Diablo is coming in two
That's
months.
coming.
That Diablo
And there's a
looks
few
really
other
cool.
multiplayer games coming on Game Pass this month, isn't there? It's like there's a 2D one coming out, The Ascent.
Oh, is that? I didn't know that was multiplayer. I am looking forward to that, though.
Isn't that like a Diablo style? Is that the one I'm thinking
It's
of?
it is that perspective. I thought it was more of
Yeah.
like an RPG type thing, but
I
like
think
not.
it's multi.
It's what Burl just said. Like I didn't realize it was multiplayer. I thought it was more like a
That's Game Pass too?
Baldur's Gate or Divinity. Later in
Okay,
July.
that might be the filler.
Yep, that'll probably carry us through into September, so.
Well, we still got zombies to kill.
We
That's right.
do.
You guys will still not beat this game.
It's a long game.
Damn.
And we play like once every 2 weeks,
Yeah,
so.
so and we only do like a level or two a night, so it's like we'll complete it just in time for was it Back for Blood to come out?
Yeah.
Right.
I do also think we're in such a position now that we just kind of steamroll the competition.
We do. We
It's
go
not
right
even.
over them now. It's not close.
Yeah.
We are
Like without
dramatically
weapons.
overpowered.
I Yeah, like
don't even know how, but.
my sniper rifle and my secondary weapon are mostly maxed out now. So
Yeah. I'm just like shooting one zombie with a shotgun, and the five around it are all getting hit by lightning now. I'm just like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, the only place I think it actually poses a challenge is when we play Horde, because you start out with nothing. So,
Yep.
speaking of Horde, I went back and played that train, the train level that we played the other night that I joined halfway through and didn't get the achievement for because I didn't start it with you guys. But I tried it on the browser-based streaming on iPhone that Xbox put out this week. You can now do with the xCloud,
Oh
that was called.
yeah.
That is maybe not the way to play those games.
Oh no. Or any game.
It was like no like I bet you could probably play something that's a little slower, like maybe a turn-based RPG. But trying to play a first-person shooter or third-person shooter in this case, that where there are a lot of enemies, like you cannot have lag happen and you lose control for a couple seconds because they'll swarm on you. I don't know. Maybe it was just my connection to it, but it was not a smooth experience. So they might need to clean that up if that is their approach for Xbox going forward. All right. Well, I think that's it. It'll be the 4th of July when you listen to this.
Maybe. Well, it won't be.
Oh, no, you're right.
Because technically it just goes up on the 3rd of July.
Yeah.
But
watch Invasion USA for your 4th.
Okay, so Jeff is recommending his movie. I'm going to recommend the one movie you watch this time of the year to get Uncle into Sam. That American spirit, to really understand what it means to welcome someone to Earth. It is time for the annual Independence Day rewatch. If you have not seen Independence Day recently, it is this year. Time. I have seen it every year for the past, I think, 6 or 7 years. I've explained my tradition before. I get myself a nice bottle of red wine. And by nice, I mean whatever the supermarket has in stock, because I always forget. White meat, which usually just means I just want chicken. And my Blu-ray copy of Independence Day. Because you got to get yourself some Will Smith, some Bill Pullman, some aliens invading, and you forget there's a sequel, like everybody else.
You should forget there's a sequel. That one was bad.
I never watched it.
That is good. Part of me wants you to watch it just so you can understand how bad it is, but then you'd watch Independence Day Resurrection. Is it Resurrection or
Retribution?
It's not Retribution.
It begins with
an R.
Resurgence. It's one of those R words that's in everywhere. It's either that or it's Retribution, Resurrection, or Requiem. Those are the big three R words for a movie sequel.
Yes. Don't watch that one. Watch the original. The original is great. I love that movie.
It's a ton of fun. Like, it's one of those movies that, like, you can kind of embrace that it's not great in the sense that, like, it's not a great movie. Some of it's really dumb.
Yep.
But it's highly entertaining and rewatchable.
Yeah. Like, it plays off of, you know, Will Smith was at the height of his charm game then. Has Jeff Goldblum in it. Like, some really corny dialogue that's fun. Visuals that actually I think they hold up pretty well. It's good time. But also you can watch Uncle Sam, like Jeff said, or what was the other one, Jeff?
Invasion USA.
Yeah.
Also, not like Uncle Sam is like a 4th of July movie. Like it takes it's place on 4th of July. Yeah.
I mean, on that same note, I would also just throw out. I still want you to know the Jess. I know what you did that summer, the 4th of July weekend.
Yeah, that's right. It is. And, I haven't seen it so long, I forgot, but yeah.
And Jaws.
Yeah, I was going to save
Jaws, you know? Because Jaws is actually the one. Like, I have Independence Day. I will watch Independence Day. But Jaws is the movie.
Yeah,
like, that's like honestly, if you want, I would actually watch Jaws on tomorrow, Friday, the day before, because Jaws starts on like July 2nd.
Yes.
Because part of the subplot is like they have to open the beaches for July 4th weekend.
Yep.
But Jaws is a phenomenal movie. Like a phenomenal movie.
Yeah. Invasion USA is not like a 4th of July movie, but it's very patriotic because it's about Chuck Norris defending America from a guerrilla army of terrorists who wash up on the shores of Florida and invade America. Like, it's literally like hundreds of terrorists invading Florida. Like, that's the movie. It's ridiculous.
Or, you know, if you're in for possibly torturing yourself, there is that, I believe it's on Netflix, America the Movie, which is that.
Oh, yeah. The animated movie? Is
Yeah,
that...
I've heard it's not good,
Oh,
so.
yeah. Good, then I can avoid it.
But
I was like,
if
is this one I'm gonna have to watch?
sounds like no, but if you have a little bit too much to drink, you've already watched all the other films we suggested.
I
There's
am gonna
that
watch
one.
Fear Street though. That comes out
Yep.
tomorrow or whatever.
Excited for that one.
It's getting really like positive reactions, reviews and such.
And I'm gonna go see the Forever Purge on 4th of July, so.
I've brought it up. I was like, would you think about going to see that this weekend? She's like, yeah, probably. We saw like the last two.
Would you want to see the Purge?
It's kind of a 4th of July, like the last
It is
few I've read.
I think it's. I don't know if they all been the 4th of July, but I know they've been around that weekend.
The last two, yeah, have been that weekend, like around it, so.
Yes, because a lot of the marketing is.
Is,
I mean,
yeah.
it's very patriotic and it's like satire, so it makes
Yeah.
sense.
Yep. So enjoy your 4th of July. Drink your red wine. Eat your chicken. Watch your Blu-rays. We'll be back next week with something. I'm not sure what. I don't know what's coming out, if anything. But we will have Dynasty Warriors. Earl's gonna watch that.
Fingers crossed,
We'll do a review of Invasion USA on Tubi.
Oh, is that on Tubi?
Yeah.
Okay, see, you have to start with that.
I think it is. It was like it
Well,
when I finished watching
see,
our
that's
movie
always the.
last week, it was like people who like this ultra watch this. It like
I
popped
was about
up
to
and
say,
was
that's always the problem though, because it is July 1st, which means it is the day where everything rolls
possible.
off or rolls
Yeah.
on.
I bet it's still there.
I'm going to check now. I mean, we could stop recording, just say goodnight.
Good night.